Welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the Lannister to my Baratheon, Rich Stambolian.
What's going on, man? I have to catch up on that show. You've been mentioning it to me like every single day. And a lot of people have too. Yeah, it's apparently like the best high fantasy show on TV right now.
I got to tell you, man, there's been like no war, right? Like very little fighting, but it's I'm going to say something. People are going to get very angry. I like this better than the first season of Game of Thrones.
A lot of people have said that.
Very much so. I think the character, like the writing is better. Mm-hmm. The dialogue is better.
They've honed all that stuff.
They said cuckold on the last episode.
Apparently it's going to go for another 5 seasons.
I hope so.
Right?
Bananas. It's fantastic.
Game of Thrones has been around for ages at this point.
Yeah, and it's still chugging along, and there's another series. There's a Jon Snow sequel coming.
Oh, yeah. Sequel or prequel?
No, it's a sequel. It's a sequel to Game of Thrones, so it's everything that happens afterwards. They need to fix it. Whatever happened. They need to fix it, though, you know? I think that's how they see it.
At what point do you tap out?
Of Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
I never tapped out. I got in later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you weren't there from day one.
No, I was there from like season 6 and I watched everything. I'm like, oh my God, this is fantastic. Okay. And then I came in. Yeah, I came in way later. I wasn't following. This is the first time I'm following it straight.
Yeah. So that's got to be fun for you.
Yeah, I'm loving it. It's fantastic. And I'm very much into the books. I'm listening to the audiobooks now on my way to work. Very, very into it.
Who narrates the audiobooks, MG Geek?
It's MG Geek, yeah, but he spells everything wrong and mispronounces it. Jorn Sneer. Guys, the show's all about professional wrestling. We're doing a Wednesday edition of the show because I have a very busy week. I got meetings all week, so I thought, what better way to do it? And obviously, big story coming out of last night, which we're going to go into. Hangman Page got hurt in the main event. MJF, they had to scramble to end the show properly, and they did a great job at it. The story is that he's doing well, but we're going to talk all about that. Mm-hmm. And a whole lot more, but before we continue, Rich, I want to talk about our sponsor, and it's NordVPN. I was talking to Garrett about this the other day. Like, I've been using NordVPN for years, so this is such an easy thing for me. I generally use it when I'm traveling a lot. I don't like to have my IP out there. I like to have some sort of protection, especially when I'm traveling and I'm in, like, a coffee shop or whatever. I always use a VPN, but the thing that a lot of people that I know use a VPN on is getting access to content that they generally don't have in their country or whatever service that they're using. And I had a funny story. I had my VPN on and I went on one of the streaming services and I'm like, wow, this looks totally different. I have no idea what these shows are. When did they update everything? And I realize I'm logging into a different region of the world, which was really cool to see that, you get access to all this stuff. I mean, obviously, there's so much you could talk about as a layer of protection that you get with a VPN. It blocks out a lot of bad stuff. I'm dumbing it down for people. I'm going to make this very easy for people. Listen, use a VPN. It's like, that's how I see it, right? Do you walk around town with a billboard on you with your address on it? Sometimes Rich does, but I don't. I don't want people knowing everything about me. Your IP address is like your ID. Why would you give this to somebody? Why would you allow someone to have access to where you are and what you're seeing? Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/f4w to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus 4 months for free. This is a completely risk-free with NordVPN 30-day money-back guarantee. This is fantastic stuff. I absolutely love NordVPN. I talk about NordVPN a lot to people. We were just talking about using a VPN before the show, and I was like, oh, we got a NordVPN spot. So, perfect. NordVPN.com/F4W. I want to thank NordVPN for supporting Matt Men. Rich?
Yes, sir.
Where do you want
to be? Ready?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about the big news that came out of last night's AEW Dynamite. We had a main event, which is a rocking main event. Hangman Adam Page versus the current AEW champion, Jon Moxley. The match was going great. Jon Moxley displayed his thin forehead skin yet again, bleeding all over the place. And at one point, it looked like Hangman took a gnarly clothesline. He bumped awkwardly, and then the match was ended. If you watched the show last night, you saw that they immediately cut away from the ring. This was an actual issue, and Taz and the commentators, everybody looked a little scared, a little shook, and they were stalling for time. You know, yeah. Turns out Hangman, after the match stoppage, was taken to a local facility. He was later released, but he suffered a concussion, and I'm assuming it's not great news, but he's going to be okay.
Yeah, he took that. Moxie hit him with a hard King Kong lariat. And it was Excalibur was selling it right as like this great, oh my god, the king, like the biggest of King Kong lariats, and I think it was like a double whammy. I think he took it hard on his neck. He took it really hard on his neck, and when he went to flip, he fell on the neck. So initially,
right,
it looked like people thought he had a neck injury, but he was moving. So that was immediately, you know, people like, okay, he can move. Very scary, you know, a couple minutes for them.
Yeah, you know? Very, very, very frightening.
But you have to applaud the referee, the medical team. They were quick to get in there to evaluate him. The ref was very quick to stop it. He realized something really bad was going on. And they had, I think, like 7 minutes, you said, in the chat. We were talking yesterday. I think it was like 7 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, quick, they were able to pivot. They handed Moxley a mic. He challenged MJF. MJF came out. And they're having the match at Full Gear, which we'll go into.
Yeah, absolutely. Very scary. Hope the guy's okay. You know, like initial thoughts were that he busted his shoulder like really bad. But, you know, concussion that he can hopefully soon recover from.
Yeah.
Go Hangman.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens here. But, you know, I was talking to Garrett about this on We're Live, Pal. And I was like, how are they going to, they can't have Hangman lose, you know? Like, I'm curious what the ending, the actual finish would have been. Because Hangman losing would not have been a great momentum shift for him.
I think it would have been a screw finish because MJF left the booth during the match.
Oh, is that what happened? Okay. All right.
Yeah,
so maybe they were going to... Okay.
Yeah, I think that was the whole thing. Where like MJF left the booth during the match. The thing happened. And I'm assuming the original plan was MJF coming in, screw finish maybe, something with Regal. I do think Regal's going to turn on Moxley.
Oh, we got to talk about that Regal and MJF promo. That was fantastic stuff, too. Yeah, I'm glad concussion is serious. It's nothing to... listen, I've had a couple concussions. They're not fun. It's not good, but it could have been a whole lot worse.
That's because you slam your head into lockers like Goldberg.
I mean, regularly.
I know. I've seen you do it. And I'm like, yo, why are you doing that? And you're like, I got to get inside.
I got to open this door. Ace Steel was released from AEW on Tuesday per Dave Meltzer. Dave spoke about this last night on the show that he was released. This is the first thing that we've heard about the involvement of the Brawl and repercussions from it. So,
yeah,
you know, Ace Steel posted something last week saying like something like he's free finally. And he posted like an image of something. So obviously he was going to leave. He was going to be fired. I guess now, whatever X amount of days has passed, and now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're going to find out more stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's if somebody at your job bit somebody else, wouldn't you fire them?
That's a great question.
Unless that person was paid to do it. But okay, yeah,
I would have to fire them. Yeah, I would have to fire them for biting somebody.
Right, because if your reaction is to bite somebody, maybe you shouldn't be working here.
The fact that I have to think if I can fire them or I will fire them if they bite somebody, it says a lot.
Well, yeah. Well, you have a very specific job.
Just a lot of biters.
You have a particular set of skills. I think with this, it's like, oh, you're backstage, you're a producer, you're supposed to be calm and rational at all times, right? Yeah, you can't go around biting dudes. I know passions are flared. Still can't go around biting dudes, man.
Weird
it's like,
move. You know,
when did Tyson recover from biting Holyfield's ear? Like 15 years.
He never did. He never did.
I think he did. I think he did. I think
what?
He recovered
recently.
From it.
Recently. Yeah. Recently. Yeah. Yeah. Like 20 years it takes to recover from bad PR from biting somebody.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho has signed a contract extension. It's actually not a contract extension. Let me correct this. As far as I know, this is a whole new contract because it's new responsibilities. You can't extend on new responsibility. As far as I believe, this is a whole new contract going through 2025. I believe he'll be 55 years old when this contract is over. or 56. A lot more responsibilities in the back. He's going to be helping out with a multitude of things. I think that's a very good move. We've seen Chris Jericho become that locker room leader in that company. He has that experience with WWE, working with Vince and everybody else there. Tony could definitely use someone like Chris Jericho to be in a position of authority or responsibility.
I think so. I think so. He seems like he's probably like one of the most level-headed choices to be backstage in that company. You know, like, the dude lives for wrestling, the accolades, the match quality, you know, and plus, like, we're getting like, Jericho's a fascinating guy. And I think we should dedicate like a whole show to his career, you know, as like, could this guy possibly be the GOAT? Is Jericho really the greatest of all time?
It's actually really funny because I don't think a lot of people would have said that. I mean, listen, everybody knows how fantastic Chris Jericho is and where he stands in history and all this stuff, right? But the reality is, was he on that list of the greatest performers of all time, or one of the greatest acts of all time, or one of the most important people in pro wrestling of all time? You know, when you look at that list, Flair, Hogan, Rock, Austin, you know, that list is very small. But where was Chris Jericho on that list, you know, of top people in this modern era? I'm not going back to like Bruno, right? Well, let's go 80s right? Expansion on. Where does he fall? I would have said prior to AEW, he would have probably fell as, you know, an amazing fan favorite, top talent that was really before his time. Now he's transcended into something else with all the New Japan stuff that he's done.
I was about to say that.
That changed him as, wow, okay, you could see the range in this guy. I think him going to AEW and, I mean, really being a top act in that company from the beginning of being there, he solidified himself as, you know, one of those guys, you know, I'm not saying he's as big as Hogan or Flair. That's up to you to decide, depending on who your favorites are. But I think he definitely belongs on that top 10 list now.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether or not he was on it before, it's up for discussion. You know, I think that's interesting. But I do think his footprint on pro wrestling has far exceeded what it would have been if he stayed in WWE.
And not only that, but the guy's still having high quality matches. I think, you know, 100%, you're right. That transition to that list of like that upper echelon was when he started doing the New Japan stuff, because you looked at it and you were like, holy shit, like, yeah, this guy could be the GOAT, you know? And then up until now, like, was him wrestling Dalton Castle on your 2022 wrestling bingo sheet?
No, there's a universe. I'm telling you, man.
Probably not.
I'm telling you this. Prior to the pandemic, something happened. A shift happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was like a split, like overnight. It was like a blip.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we've merged in this universe where in 2022, Chris Jericho is the Ring of Honor. He you know what happened? Mm-hmm. In like this weirdo ROH, he's like Randy the Ram, having a second resurgence of his career in Ring of Honor. I swear to God, that's how I saw it last night.
That's hysterical. And that's an interesting comparison because of all this history he had with Mickey Rourke.
Yeah. He's become Randy the Ram. To some extent, I mean, listen, I'm not saying, you know, his career went down the tubes, but in this like alternate universe, he is a Ring of Honor champion. He's had a second coming of his career, and now he's wrestling guys like Dalton Castle on national TV, and people are loving it. I thought that was a great match, by the way. Very much enjoyed Dalton Castle.
His match with Bandito, fantastic. Yeah. You know, like his match with Danielson last week, unbelievable. Like, the dude's still putting out high quality work, right?
High quality promos.
Yeah.
You were always a big fan of his, right?
Like, I always loved the guy.
I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna mention Chris Jericho. What is the first image comes in your mind? Chris Jericho, boom, go. Don't think about it. Go.
When he came out as the Nick Bockwinkel character, the first time he wore the underwear and he had the short haircut and the slow paced.
Wow. Not expecting that.
That's great. You said first thing, boom.
Mine, IC title.
Okay.
That always solidified in my head, the IC title. That's it. Nothing else. Not the debut, none of that. The IC, that upper mid-card, you know, IC run that he had.
Okay.
Man, the matches that we got there, right? We got him and Eddie. We got him and Benoit. That him in China was really good.
Yeah.
People forget how like, what a weird time that was.
He's one of those dudes where I think Moxley's the same way, where once they're in the ring, all they care about is being the best professional wrestler they can be.
Listen, this is a dude that tried to fight Brock Lesnar. This is a dude that tried to fight. You know what? We should do a Chris Jericho breakdown. We'll put that on the Patreon. I want to do that with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. A good like hour and a half of like career thoughts, going into like in depth with everything and the whys, you know?
1999. Okay. 1999. My favorite wrestlers, Chris Jericho, Lance Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Van Dam.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Benoit.
Yeah.
Eddie.
Yes.
Like that was my mid-card top.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we have this could be another subject for another show. I think in this modern era of wrestling, we have that to a certain extent. Like if you talk to a 20-year-old wrestling fan, they will probably rattle off an almost similar list of current superstars.
I'm sure.
You know? Which include Jericho.
Those are the posters on my wall as a kid. I had a Rob Van Dam poster. I had a Jericho poster. I'm going to see him tomorrow. I'm going to see him on Friday.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to see Rob on Friday. Yeah.
Do you think he's going to remember you?
Yeah, of course. He was complaining that we never called him for the CBD stuff.
You never call me, guys.
He was mad. I'm so sorry. I fucked up. I'll tell Rob, too, when I see him.
And also included in that, where this is literally brainstorming a future episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Included in that Jericho episode, we got to culminate it with like the birth of AEW was the collide of Bullet Club and Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Gnarly AEW stuff.
AEW documentary with Warner Brothers Discovery is to be filled soon. Filled. You're filling this, apparently. Filmed soon. There you go. Found another typo there. What do you think of this?
I like it, man. I'm really cool with this. This, to me, as soon as I read it, it seems like this is the starting point of the stuff that WWE used to do. Remember, they would always film like documentaries for every single thing that happened? And I used to enjoy the shit out of them. I don't know about you, but I still have them. I still have my DVDs of like all their documentaries. So this is fun. And also, didn't they stop doing the road to X, Y, and Z's after Cody left?
Yeah, Cody. So this is part of Warner, you know, prior to the merger, Cody was a big part of that. You know, Discovery really wanted, Warner Brothers really liked having Cody as an asset for their brand, for the Turner brand. You know, he's an Atlanta boy. There's a connection there, obviously. He enjoyed doing the stuff that he was doing. And when Cody left, you know, Warner really, they did not want him to leave because they had all these ideas already in the works. So, you know, between the merger and everything else that's been going on, you know, a lot of things took a back seat here. This was something that I had been told a long time ago that would be probably happening. Didn't happen, obviously. Merger happened. A lot of other shakeups happened. People in key positions are gone. At Warner Brothers, a lot of key people are gone. A lot of people I know personally are gone there. So, you know, and new people come in and, you know, you build a relationship with them. That's how it works in that business. But apparently it's going to focus on behind the scenes aspect of a group of talent. I don't know who that talent's going to be, but maybe they'll swap it. Filming is set to start in November at the Baltimore AEW Dynamite taping. Cool. And we'll run 6 weeks through AEW taping in Garland, Texas, December 14th. Tony Khan will serve as executive producer for the show with Sam Burns, executive producer of Shed Media, helping out as well. The show will air in 2023. So it's like a day in the life, you know?
They could do some cool stuff with this. This leaves a lot of room for interesting pop-ups and cameos. I think as a wrestling fan, like I always enjoyed that stuff. You know, I always enjoyed those WWE documentaries or even like the road twos from AEW where somebody would be on camera and then somebody you wouldn't expect shows up in the background, you know?
Can I add something real quick to this?
Oh, geez. Very loud.
Oh, I know. this is a spinoff of that F1 Netflix, the F1 series.
Yeah.
That's on Netflix for the F1 Racing League. They've got a lot of, I guess, traction because of that show that people don't even watch the racing. So that's what they're doing, I think.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. What else?
All right. Tony Khan apparently stated that there will be great news about weekly Ring of Honor shows, hoping to start a weekly show in 2023. 2023 is right around the corner. This came out yesterday. I think it's cool. People have been really champing at the bit to see more Ring of Honor stuff. And, you know, clearly the writing is on the wall with Jericho being the champion.
Yeah,
that's good news for them. Also, every time somebody posts a Tony Khan story, they seem to use the worst thumbnail of the guy.
Oh, they make him look insane. I don't know why.
Right.
This man has plenty of nice photos out there. Why do they make him look insane and deranged?
He's not a deranged dude. And like every thumbnail somebody picks is like, oh, pick that one. He looks drunk. Or pick that one. He looks frenzied.
He looks frenzied. Yeah. you know what? We should start doing that with our thumbnails here. Okay. So there's a lot here to unpack, right? Tony made the announcement months ago that he had purchased Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. He's had Ring of Honor presence on TV, maybe a little too much, depending on who you ask. I think it was a little too much at one point, but we understood what happened there. You know, there was a lack of talent. They had to fill in holes. They're trying to get this brand over. They're trying to sell it to Warner. What better way to sell it than put them on your TV?
Yeah.
You know, these are all valued moves to make that are leading to this. Now, the final battle, which is the last Ring of Honor pay-per-view of 2022, will be December 10th in Arlington, Texas.
Sweet.
Most likely, we'll get the announcement for TV there. They'll announce it on that show. Looking at a January start, most likely.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
And I want to get your true feelings on
Yes.
this. I am very excited for this Ring of Honor final battle.
Okay.
This is the most I've been excited for a Ring of Honor pay-per-view in a very long time.
Okay, cool.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm very curious what they do, you know,
exactly.
in this version of Ring of Honor. I would say, yeah, I am excited. I am excited for this show. Now,
right.
I'm more excited to see what they do with the Ring of Honor weekly show.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weekly TV show starting in 2023. Are you doing live weekly? I can't imagine you will. The expenses on that would be, through the freaking roof for a product that's untested. Are you putting it on network television? I believe that this is from every conversation I've had, I definitely feel that Warner is involved in this. This is not Tony that's going to take this and put it on just the AEW YouTube. If they were going to do that, they would have done that months ago. They would have replaced,
yeah.
you know, one of the you know, Dark Elevation or AEW Dark or whatever, and just put shows on there. That was never the plan with this. Tony wants to make money with it because he paid money for it. So you have the archive, you have that library of 20 years of content. You have your AEW content. That's not obviously 3 years, but if you're trying to build some sort of portal for streaming, if you're trying to entice Discovery, to put this on HBO Max or put Ring of Honor on there or allocate some sort of space, this is a way to do it. Now, the big question is, everybody's like, where do you put Ring of Honor? What channel would you put it on television? TBS, TNT, True, or one of the Discovery properties?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, like, obviously, I do think Tony will probably have some insight into what this Discovery Warner Brothers thing is going to lead to. You know, so whatever is the end result of that, it might be packaged with whatever this is.
Yeah, well, HBO Max is apparently going away. They're rebranding it, right?
Oh, damn. That was
They're
my
ruining
favorite
it. Don't
streaming.
Ruin it. It is the best streaming service. It is the best streaming service out there. That DC catalog that they have for anime, for like the animated series, you know, DC Universe stuff, fantastic. Their archives is fantastic. I mean, they have everything on there. Everything.
Can we get
a Ring of Honor crossover with The Sopranos?
Hey, Jericho! that would be hysterical. Do a little ADR crossover.
Yeah, I love it.
Here's your perfect wrestling show, and tell me if this would pop you. You know, you go to a live show, right?
Yeah.
Let's say we go to Grand Slam next year, right?
Yeah.
Boom! First hour, Ring of Honor. 2 hours, Dynamite. 1 hour, Rampage, and we're done.
Yeah, that's it. I'm into it.
right? 4-hour show, nice and tight. You have the roster to do it. This is very exciting. I kind of want to see like what happens and how long Jericho is going to stay the Ring of Honor champion. Because yeah. when he drops that belt, it's a big return to Dynamite, right?
Or it time is. Off. It, or time off. But he's going to have to drop it to somebody. I don't know who the next, could it be Claudio again? Did he drop it to Claudio? Who does he drop it to? I don't know.
I think it's got to be somebody big. You know what
I
mean?
It has to be someone big. Yeah.
Danielson.
I've wanted that. Yeah. I think Danielson mm-hmm. needs the title. Brandon Thurston, friend of the shows, reported that the day one PLE has been canceled. Dave cited conflict with the College Bowl games taking place in the area. Brian Alvarez also said there is more changes, including more overseas shows and fewer gimmick shows. This is absolutely true. Months ago when I spoke to this is prior, this is not a Triple H thing. This is like more of a Nick Khan and Vince thing. They mm-hmm. wanted to do way more overseas shows because the overseas shows allows them to draw more than 15,000 people because they don't go to these markets too often. So when they're in the UK, they want it to be a big production. When they go to, you know, Australia or Saudi Arabia, they want it to be a big production. I mean, more overseas shows, I don't know where you're going to go. You know, are you going to Italy and putting on a show? I think, you know, they're talking more about the UK and, you know, Saudi Arabia and, you know, wherever else they're going to go. But I think this was always the plan. They want more stadium shows. The gimmick shows really don't matter anymore. I think the naming of like Elimination Chamber for a pay-per-view. Okay, fine. But how many times are you going to do the same thing? I think those are specialty things that you should have as your big attraction, not the name of the show.
Right.
So, yeah. It looks like they might be going back to that, which is great.
A show in Italy would be fantastic, though. They could do a show anywhere and sell it.
Anywhere.
I remember when WWE did those India shows, and like those were like effing gangbusters.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe they will.
Looks like Triple H, unfortunately, missed Raw this week due to testing positive for COVID, replaced by the Road Dogg.
He was replaced by the Road Dogg. Isn't it amazing mm-hmm. that DX is running that company? The anti-authority group is now running that company?
I thought about this the other day, and I'm like, okay, on one hand, you have DX running the company, right? Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and now Road Dogg, right? They need to get Sean Waltman a job there. Bullet Club is on top of the industry. No NWO stuff. No NWO guys running around.
No.
Running anything.
Right? Yeah. The NWO, I mean, those guys. Well, that says a lot about WWE's ability to continue marketing 20 years later versus everything else, right?
Yeah.
NWO, I mean, but by the way, NWO is still one of their hottest selling products. Those t-shirts are still selling. I buy an NWO shirt like twice a year at least.
Great.
I replace them.
Great t-shirt.
What a great
t-shirt.
Do you think
DX now stands for D's Executives?
D's Executives. Yeah, it does. They're just in suits. I told you a story, right, about that crazy guy that was like, New World Order. You know, those are the guys doing everything in the Ukraine, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, dude, it's a wrestling shirt. He's like, what? I'm like, it's a wrestling thing. It's not about, you know, the Illuminati. It's not about the New World Order.
So I can't wear this shirt in public anymore.
No, you can't. No. Why? You got...
Because of this, because of the Bullet Club thing, and the guns, and all this
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
I get that shit, too. I'm like, dude, mind your... Even if, let's say I'm wearing it. Let's say this is what I want. Mind your business.
I don't want to have the conversation of, it's a wrestling shirt. Well, what does that mean? You know? Or, like you said, like, that NWO thing is bananas. I think there was, like, a big thing for some Karen in Target a few years ago was, like, great. Now they're spreading their agenda
into
family-friendly stores with this NWO garbage. What is this?
Oh.
Yeah, people are nuts, dude. People are nuts.
People are nuts. People are nuts.
And you know what else is nuts?
Mm.
The Rock may be poised to be a WWE executive at some point.
We're
transitioning,
you know,
from rocks to nuts. Yeah.
What I mean, him being on the executive board, the board of executives or, you know, something like that would be great for them. Great branding, great, you know, crossover. Rock has that clothing brand.
Is it his own brand or is it Under Armour?
It's Under Armour, but I mean, it's an extension. You know, it's another extension of getting more deals. And, you know, the guy is not just a name. He legitimately is one of the most successful business people in the country.
He is a brand.
And he's a brand.
He's his own skyscraper also. He is the brand. He is the brand headquarters. Dude, as well.
Every review for Black Adam is like, this guy revived DC.
I don't know about that, my
people
friend.
People love it. They're going nuts for this. They're like, Superman we deserve. This is the Superman movie we deserve. Every review.
Have you checked the papers this morning?
No. Really? No.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
What? I literally watched a bunch of these reviews about it yesterday and a bunch of these articles yesterday. I was like fascinated. I want to know the story, and everybody's praising it.
I think those reviews that come out initially early are honestly like bought, and it's not the full film.
Interesting.
Last night, all this stuff came out, and this morning too, like IGN gave it a 5 today.
Oh my God.
A
really?
5 out of 10. A 5 out of 10. Not a 5 out of 5 like Mr. Meltzer. A 5 out of 10 for the movie. And apparently the consensus is it just goes nowhere and it's just a bunch of dumb fight scenes.
Okay. You know what? And I'm going to tell you something. Most of this country will love it.
But guess what? You know what? I'll watch it.
Me too.
Will I like it? Who knows? Yeah. You know what movie I really like that nobody likes? Aquaman.
Really?
Yeah. I love the Aquaman movie. It's not a great movie by any stretch.
But you enjoyed it.
I loved it. I've seen it like 4 times. And it's a long effing movie. Like there is... I had a 3-hour conversation with Alex one day where he poo-pooed the entire movie from top to bottom. And guess what? I agreed with him on every single point, but I love that movie.
You did. You know, a lot of people didn't like the Batman.
So, those people are nuts.
Yeah. I loved it. It was a beautiful movie. All right. Where were we here?
So The Rock. Picture The Rock as an executive?
Yeah. 100%. I think that's a great move for them. If there's ever going to be a brand ambassador, you know, somebody to represent this company, it definitely is him. They're so tied into this man's success, even though it's all him, but still, you know, he WWE feels connected to him. That, by the way, think of the dynasty in that family, in that company, right? You got the McMahons, you got the Rock's families,
mm-hmm.
all the cousins.
All of us, we're all the Rock's cousins.
We're
Big
all
reveal.
The Rock's cousins. So, I you know, very interesting that Samoan connection to that company's history. And now The Rock could be an executive there. I think if he sat on the board, it would be a great move for him.
I think so too, man. What other Attitude Era star would you see on that executive board?
What? Can you imagine?
I gotta wear a suit.
Vincent, what? SmackDown highlights. Let's go into this. And then we'll go into Dynamite.
All right, beautiful. So Bray Wyatt, the answer is here. Bray Wyatt came out, closed SmackDown, new entrance, new music. He cut a very, very interesting promo. This guy definitely can blend reality with fantasy like nobody else, I think, in the modern era, right? Really pulls the people into it. He said this is the real Bray Wyatt. Cut a slightly tear-filled promo. Thank the fans for saving him. I do think a lot of this stuff alludes to his post-Brody passing reaction, you know?
Yeah.
Cut off at the end by a little video package, some masked man talking to him. And listen, when WWE does something like this, they do it right. And this, I think, was a home run.
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. Now, what are they going to... Is it him? Is it another person that's controlling him? Is it another split personality of his?
Well, they've been teasing this Wyatt 6 thing for a couple of weeks, even if that's a thing, right?
Maybe it's him 6 times, 6 different characters.
I think that would be cool. This is one of those things where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't seem like it's very predictable. And if you think about it, the Wyatt stuff has not been predictable.
It has not been predictable. You know what this kind of reminded me of? The Shyamalan movie. That guy with the multiple personalities from In Glass. He was in Glass. What was the movie he was in? Split.
Sorry.
Yeah. So like maybe they do like a Split thing.
That would be pretty cool.
You know, he has the Fiend, he has himself, he has whatever the hell this new thing is. He has whatever he came in WWE, he has the Cape Fear. And then the Firefly Funhouse version of him. There you go. Yeah. You can do it. Maybe that's it. Maybe I figured it out.
I think you figured it out.
Maybe. Possible.
You heard it here first. And the new the copyrights too that we mentioned last week of Uncle Brody and Uncle Uncle Harper and Uncle Howdy.
Is that what they did?
Yeah. Remember we mentioned their new copyrights and who knows what these characters are? But I think one of them apparently is gonna lead to like some kind of like Pazuzu style face from The Exorcist.
Okay.
And you know what? Speaking of M. Night Shyamalan, have you seen the trailer for Knock at the Cabin?
No, I have not. Is it good?
Batista's in it.
Oh. What is he doing in it?
He looks like a jacked up Bob Hoskins in that movie. You got to see the trailer for it. Or if somebody could post like a link to like what Batista looks like, it's fantastic. It's wrestling tangential. I'm not trying to talk about movies all afternoon.
I'm going to skip through the SmackDown stuff because it's old news. Yeah. On Raw, the Good Brothers returned to win their first match against Alpha Academy. Man, you know what? They look great in WWE. Those guys.
They do. Don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And why do they look great? And I'm going to, I was talking to MG about this. They stand out because they're rough around the edges. They're not as they're not polished. Now, I don't mean in the ring. I mean just visually, right? They're not a WWE creation, that act. So they stand out better. I think everywhere else they kind of blend in a little bit more, except Japan, obviously. But like in Impact, they blended in AEW, they kind of blended in. They stand out in WWE, which is great for them because they'll make some big money there.
Now, do you think they're a better fit for WWE than AEW or Impact or New Japan?
I think they're going to have a better time in WWE.
On the second run?
Yeah. I think they'll have a better time.
Okay.
Yeah, so Dominic beat AJ Styles because of Rhea and the Judgment Day. Baron Corbin came and said he has been traded to Raw and is now managed by JBL, which came out in the largest European cut pants I have ever seen. These things were like JNCOs that were turned into dress pants.
Folks were more concerned about his pants than seeing JBL again.
Those were like, I wonder if it was like a Vince McMahon suit type thing from the 90s. It was like the Vince suit.
It could have been a situation where he was backstage eating clam chowder, got some on his pants, and then
they had to find a new pair.
The person next to him was like, just use my pants. And that person was like Omos or something.
Well, I was shocked by those pants because I've seen him dress up and he never wears pants like that. Who did this?
This is another instance of us predicting the future, because if you recall last week on the show, we did mention how great JBL is on commentary.
We did mention
and
that.
And he put Corbin over like nobody's business.
Yeah. Maybe we knew something.
Yeah, maybe we did.
Maybe we did.
But beating Dolph Ziggler, returned to form. Not a fan of the beige outfit, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Elias returned with a full beard. He's going to perform. He was going to perform until Riddle came out to try to join him. So I guess, did they kill his brother? Is he done?
Yeah, I think the Ezekiel thing was, I think Triple H, have you seen Lost? Did you watch Lost?
I watched Lost. I'm very fascinated by Lost. At one point, I gave up because it just became so convoluted.
So I'm going to make a Lost reference here, and hopefully people in the chat will get it. Like, it seems like Triple H is turning that wheel of time at the end of the series, and he's writing everything that happened, where like no more Ezekiel, making KO a killer, bringing back the Good Brothers. Like he's getting like all his stuff into place. Do you think we're going to see Ezekiel again?
Maybe we'll get to see him again, but did he grow out the beard? If he did, that's going to be quite difficult. Maybe they'll do something and say that he went off to like California.
Maybe they filmed a bunch of
my brother stuff went to California. He's gone.
My brother, he's dead.
Seth Rollins defeated Matt Riddle with Elias entering the ring, and he got shoved into Riddle. After the match, Ali attacked Rollins, continuing the angle they started early in the night. Very cool. All right, Crown Jewel update following Raw. Currently, these are the matches. Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns defends against Logan Paul.
I'm with it.
The OC versus Judgment Day. I'm into this. Very much
it.
So.
Yep.
I can't believe Carl Anderson's going back to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Very surprised by that.
Big old truck of money was probably pulled up to these guys' houses.
You know what? Good. You know what? They deserve it. Whatever.
Yeah, good for them.
Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, big pieces of ham colliding.
Just a ham fight.
Yeah. Do I have
side note
have...
real quick? Yes. Side note on the Carl Anderson stuff.
Yeah.
The Japan show where you're supposed to defend the never open weight title is the same day.
So yeah. So it's not happening.
That's up in the air.
That's not happening.
Wow.
You're right. Let's go to Dynamite last night. I enjoyed the show tremendously. It was a fun show. Rich, yes. Take us through Dynamite.
So, it you know, good show, fun show. Started with Death Triangle defeating the Best Friends to retain the Trios Championship. Good match. Really good match. Mm-hmm. I love these showcase matches with the Trios and maybe like guys who aren't on TV a lot. I think Rey and I've always felt that Rey and Penta need more of a spotlight on them. You know, and this is kind of a good way to keep them in that spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah. All these guys are great.
Now, there was a little bit of counter programming with NXT last night as well. And you
there
saw
was.
A lot of former NXT main roster people on the show. I don't know if that did anything for the numbers because on socials, listen, nobody was talking about NXT.
You know what's funny? Nobody was talking about, but you had Rhea Ripley against Roxanne Perez. You had Nakamura wrestle. You had, let me see.
Good Brothers.
The Good Brothers, right? You had Cameron Grimes and the OC against Schism. Shotzi was announced as the host of Halloween Havoc again. Mm-hmm. Cora Jade defeated Raquel Rodriguez. Kevin Owens hosted the KO show hosted by Kevin Owens with Braun Breaker and who was on it?
JD McDonagh
and Ilja Dragunov.
Yeah.
And then Theory came out hinting that he could cash in. So maybe this is a way. I think that's great. Put Theory back in NXT. I'm into
absolutely.
This. And make him into this piece of crap heel. Would love it. So
see, I'd rather see Theory have a feud with Breaker and McDonagh and Dragunov than him on the main roster doing
that. Me too. So Death Triangle. Toni Storm defeated Shida to retain the AEW Interim Women's Championship. Very good match.
Good match.
Toni Storm, great look on her, man. She has such a fantastic look.
She's so magnetic.
She really is. I'm very much into Toni. I know she gets a lot of crap. People crap on her all the time about her in-ring. They don't like her. I'm like, she's fucking great.
No, she's... I think they don't like her because she's perceived as too stiff. But you got to remember, she came from that highly skilled Joshi background.
Well, she also wrestled very much strong style on the indies forever.
Yeah.
They beat the crap out of each other. So this was interesting. MJF and William Regal. This was a masterclass. I don't know if you wrote that or MG wrote that, but that is a great description.
Yeah.
MG People said this was. I'm going to give you guys my opinion, but
shoot,
I want to talk about this a little bit before MJF comes out. MJF told a story of being told he was too young by Regal and him sending him emails every month with a promo and a match. He said that he still reads it every day. And essentially what happened, at one point, Regal told him that he was hired when he was 19 and then realized he was 19 and said, no, you're too young, but send me tapes every month. I will, you know, we're going to work on this. Every month he would send him tape. And the third month he got this nasty message back from Regal.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the old way of the business, right? I need to discourage you to know if, and that was a story they were kind of telling here, right? Mm-hmm. I need to discourage you and I need to make this difficult for you because this is a difficult business. And if my email was too much for you, you were not cut out for this business, right? That's the point here. It's like Hiro Matsuda breaking Hulk Hogan's leg, brother, you know, on a very small level, on a very minute level, which I appreciate the email. I would much rather get a nasty email from a William Regal than to have my leg broken by Hiro.
Yeah, exactly.
So they do this back and forth. Regal retorts back and says that he started when he was 16. He's like, I left home when I was 16 to go become a traveling carny. You know, and that's essentially what wrestling was, with these like tough old men that would try to fight him, and he had to fight people double his age. Very good stuff. The fact is MJF got motivated from that email. Very good segment. But what did you think of the promo? MJF's.
I love the fact that this guy's cutting fiery promos every time he's out now, and they just keep getting better and better. I think, like, once you think the guy has reached like some kind of pinnacle of where he's at, he pushes it a little further. I think this was one of those examples. Just the fact that this was so grounded in reality, and also like this new version of kayfabe where he tells the audience, shut up, this is real.
Yeah.
It's you know, like, it's so good because it shifts the perspective of the audience, because they're like, oh shit, it is real. But yeah. You know what? Who knows? Regal's reaction was fantastic. Regal's promo on him was fantastic, you know, because Regal, he's one of those guys that could own a crowd. He's been doing this so long that he can flip that switch in a second. The crowd started booing Regal.
They did, but he won him back. Yeah. Regal won him back when he started telling the story. You know, you could see MJF was very much channeling Ric Flair in a lot of those moments.
Yeah. Yeah, but fantastic work. I, judging by the end of Dynamite, how Regal came out, I do think Regal may turn on Mox.
Yeah, you've been saying that. I want to see it happen.
I think it might happen, you know, because, and this is like, this might be me reading into it too much, but Regal doing a little foreshadowing, saying like, he's a gentleman villain, basically. You know, he's like, anything that happens in the ring is fair game. Nothing outside of the ring. You don't got to attack Tony Schiavone. Like, I've known Tony Schiavone for 30 years.
Yeah,
I never attacked him outside
attack
of the
Mr.
ring.
Mr. Schiavone. Yeah.
I think this is leading up to this ultimate partnership. And also, like, the brass knuckle thing. He's like, you hit people with a ring so you can win. I hit people with these because I like to hit people with them. You know, like, I think Regal in MJF's corner makes a lot of sense.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Very, very good.
Chris Jericho. Dalton Castle with the boys. He retained a ring of honor. This was a great match.
Oh, so very good. So good.
It. So this is interesting. And gave
Yeah.
We were talking last night in the group chat, and it just sprung on me, like, you know, the parallel here is fascinating. There obviously is an acquisition of Ring of Honor, right? You have Ring of Honor presence on AEW television. And they put the Ring of Honor title on Chris Jericho. They did that when the invasion happened, right? Didn't they do that with Jericho? Undisputed champion. He had the WCW title as well. Very interesting. I found the parallel there, like, 21 years later. It's still kind of similar.
And it also shows you, like, what a young guy Jericho was when that stuff happened.
Yeah. Yeah. What a young guy. Amazing. He's doing this. It's so bizarre to see. By the way, Dalton Castle, one of the best suplexes I've seen.
Strong boy. They gave him the full regalia also. Like, all the boys. The outfit, like, everything. You know, I think, I like seeing that dude on TV. And the crowd was into it, too.
I want to see RJ City, Dalton Castle, and Danhausen together.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Why not? There's your Ring of Honor right there.
That is your Ring of Honor right there. Yeah, I love it. Jade Cargill cut a promo looking for Nyla Rose. She looked into the camera and told Tony Khan she'll hijack his show for 60 minutes if Nyla doesn't give her the TBS title back on Rampage because Nyla stole the belt. John Moxley, now this is the main event here. John Moxley defeated Hangman Page for the AEW World Championship due to doctor's stoppage. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is not real, okay? I'm not saying that.
Right.
A lot of people were questioning, how does this match end? How do they do it? They don't like to do DQ finishes. They don't like to do this. They don't like to do that. Well, you know, they got a weird finish here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he took a King Kong lariat to the neck. And it was not looking good. They had to improvise the finish. There was a ton of mic issues also. Audio troubles. Like, everything went to shit at the end, right? But they were able to kind of recover here. And they set up MJF Moxley at full gear for the title. What do you think?
Good stuff. Like, I think they covered it up very well. Hangman looks like he's going to be on the mend. I hope that he recovers quickly. And we're going to get like a banger of a match with Moxley and MJF at full gear. I think that's going to be great. And who knows how long this quote unquote, like, I'm going to do this the right way MJF lasts. Cause like the dude's getting over. He's getting over as like a passionate heel. Right. And he's getting those cheers now. And also, this dude has a Burberry scarf as his entrance video, and he's so over, you know?
You are over when your entrance video is just a scarf waving in the wind.
It is a graphic of a wavy scarf.
That's literally what it is. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Rampage, the Acclaimed versus the Varsity Athletes. Tag team title versus the Trademark. So they're getting rid of that stupid you can't scissor stuff very early.
Yeah.
I thought this would have had some longevity here. Willow Nightingale and Penelope Ford. Rouge versus Dark Order 10. Dark Order's 10, Preston Vance. And Hook defends the FTW title against Arya Daivari on Rampage. Dynamite next week. FTR versus Swerve in Our Glory for the number one contendership for the AEW World Tag Team title. So it looks like it's going to be FTR and the Acclaimed at Full Gear. But this is too early to take the title off the Acclaimed. I thought they should at least have it a little bit longer. But, you know, 2 months, I guess.
Well, I think you're going to have that match at... Well, yeah. Let's say FTR wins, right? Full Gear, they take the titles off the Acclaimed, or possibly at the pay-per-view afterwards? Quote, maybe. Question mark?
Yeah. Rio and Jamie Hayter, Chris Jericho, Daniel Garcia versus Claudio and Wheeler Yuta. Maybe possibly building for the single match between Claudio and Jericho. Bryan Danielson versus Sammy Guevara. That is your lineup for next week.
That's going to be a fun next week also.
Very much so. You want to do Q&A quick? We got like 10 minutes.
Yeah, let's do some Q&A. Guys, if you want to super chat, your question will be answered immediately. If not, then that's cool, and we'll answer your question at some point, possibly. Let's see what we got here. We got $10 from Kyle, Elite POV. What's up, boys? What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Kyle.
We have BC Knight on Twitch. Do you think Triple H would rehire a Steel? He was a coach there before getting released in January.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not.
You don't want people in like management positions biting people.
Exactly. Maybe in the 80s. Like that's a very
That's the only way you got hired then.
Like you could see like Hacksaw biting people backstage or something. Let's see here. This is from Kyle. With the rumors of Ring of Honor TV coming soon, would you have had TK replace one of the Dark or Dark Elevation on YouTube and run ROH on there to at least have gotten things going?
I would say if he was doing that, he would have done it by now. I don't think Smart. He wanted that because remember, that's going to devalue you. That's gonna give some sort of precedence to whoever you want money from as to what you could draw. And the reality is you're not going to draw much. So you're devaluing your company by the lack of exposure, which is amazing to think about it because think about how many people have access to YouTube, right? Think of how many millions and millions, tens of millions of people around the world have access to YouTube, far more than TBS or Turner Television, any channel. But yet it is still, because it's the internet, it's still devalued and it's still not getting as much eyeballs as you would imagine. Very interesting. I find that weird in a way because you would imagine more people have access to computers and phones than they do to television channels.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's got a screen in their pocket.
So yeah, I would say no, I don't think that they want to do that. I think that's like a last resort, but there's also how much value is in the Ring of Honor name, you know? How do you, and what's the expectation if you're on a TV channel? Can you do 300,000 viewers with Ring of Honor? Is that measured good? Is that a good measurement? I don't know.
Yeah. This is next one's from Connor. Seeing as how TK got rattled at the All Out scrum, could WWE schedule an NXT TakeOver or PLE since there's no December PLE the same date as Final Battle?
I'm sure they can. I'm sure they could do something like that. I don't know if they will.
Sure. Yeah. Because they did that the last one, right? They did like the counter programming, the wrestling on Saturday.
Yeah, pissed them off. It was a lot of wrestling that weekend.
A lot of wrestling. Labor Day. I'm sorry. Labor Day weekend. Yeah. This is from Dylon. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think is the greatest storyline in wrestling history?
Oh, man. The greatest storyline in wrestling history. I would have to say the Stalker, right? It has to be the Undertaker's Stalker. Who's the Stalker?
Like DDP?
Yeah, I think that's the greatest storyline. I don't know. That's a fantastic... I've never been asked that. The greatest storyline in wrestling. I guess McMahon-Austin? Is that a storyline? Or just a feud?
It's a storyline with, let's make that a storyline, because they actually did a lot of stuff to like F up Austin during that run.
And what would it be? The greatest storyline in wrestling? I mean, there was a lot with like Hogan. You know, Hogan had some really interesting stories. Hogan and Andre, people very much enjoyed. The Punk stuff was really good in 2013.
Punk Undertaker, I really enjoyed.
You know what? Kane Undertaker, that's another great storyline.
Kane Undertaker went on for a million years, too.
And there were multiple layers. That was a really good, you know, I would, man, that is a great question. Greatest storyline.
That's a really good question. You know what pops into my head? Triple H, Mankind, McFoley, Rock McFoley, and also Triple H, Randy Orton.
Yeah, but what was the story behind? Like, I'm not counting the match.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Foley and Hunter for sure during that because Foley just couldn't beat him.
Yeah, I think Foley couldn't do it. That initial Cactus Jack return,
mm-hmm.
and then having that Cactus Jack retirement, like that's long term storytelling.
The invasion.
I got one for you real quick.
Yeah, give me one.
Oh no,
here it is. No, the Mega Powers breaking up.
That was a big storyline for sure. Fantastic. For people our age. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of the, you know what? I'd love to know what the people think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good question.
Yeah. That's a fantastic question.
Well, let's up the ante a little bit. Yeah. Andrew, what do you think is the best storyline of the last 5 years?
Oh man. You know what? I would say Danielson's rise to the top, okay. But that's not the last 5 years. So let's go to 2017 on.
Yeah, man, 2017 on.
I don't know.
Or is that like kind of like a testament to like how you're getting good storylines like here and there, like bits and pieces. I think Cody, like whatever Cody was doing from the start of AEW, pretty good.
Yeah, very Kenny loose, and New Japan, like, that was a great. I mean, that was great. Cody and MJF, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is all long term now, you know, so like we're not even at the end of like a lot of this stuff, you know.
The bloodline's been really good, but I don't know how much of a storyline that like there's really no story there.
Do you consider the Blackpool Combat Club a storyline? Much like the bloodline?
I guess so. Like I'm going more like story, like a detailed like something happened, you know, like who ran over Austin? Like that's a story for me.
Kenny versus Cody, who leads the Bullet Club?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of those.
That was fun stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's another question with a similar bent here from Bachelor 3000, our boy. What has been your all-time favorite wrestler ring gear?
Oh, yeah. Goldust had great ring gear. Fantastic. Undertaker, Kane.
Classic Undertaker and one sleeve Kane,
fantastic. There's a lot of those guys,
but I'll tell you what, my favorite never used gear, Kane with a cape.
Yes, Kane should have had a cape. I think most people should have capes. I want a cape. I want to walk around like the guy in Seinfeld, George's dad's attorney. He had a cape. He was a cape guy. I would love to have a cape.
You know what episode came on the other day?
What?
Ass man.
I stop short. Ass man. That's my move. I stop short.
In ring gear, man. All time favorite wrestling ring gear. Yeah. Tough stuff. Like in the modern day, I don't know. You know, I liked I like when Mox does the camo. Or like when he had the that barbed wire underwear, like in Japan.
Yeah. That
just like
cool.
Simple shit, you know, like whatever. Like I like simple stuff. Like if you ask me, like I'm a big black trunks, black boots. Right.
Everybody has great gear now. Who doesn't have great gear? Everybody, like Ali had new ring gear and he looked fantastic. Everybody has such great gear now.
Yeah, Wyatt's like swamp person gear was always good.
So there is a Kane had a green costume at a house show, but was never used on TV. That is not true. That is an internet myth. Kane never had a green suit.
He never had the DX suit?
He never had the DX suit. That is a lie. That is an internet lie.
There you go. That's a good storyline there. Kane and X-Pac and X-Pac turning on him.
Who's your poppy? Did you like that storyline?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then Eddie's on the ladder screaming at Vicky Guerrero because she missed a spot.
And to go back even further, Dusty and Flair.
Dusty and Flair, another great one, yeah. All right, what else do we have? I got like 2 minutes.
Too many to name. Let's see here. This is from BC Knight. Thoughts on the president of Endeavor saying publicly they would be interested in buying WWE?
Yeah, of course they would be. And the synergy between the two would make a lot of sense. It's the same type of business. But, you know, doesn't make sense for them. It's a lot of money. WWE is a lot of money. If Comcast bought them, it would take at least 8 years to recoup their costs. It didn't take, going to take another X amount of years on top of that for operations. Mm-hmm. So you're in like at least 14 years to make your money back. Do you want to invest money into something like that when you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? I think right now, you know, the value of WWE is very high and they're a publicly traded company. You're not buying a private company. So the cost to purchase is going to be very high. I don't know if Endeavor would be able to put that money together. But, you know, for WWE to have The Rock attached to it, man, it makes the bidders, makes it even better for Comcast or Endeavor to be in bed with The Rock. So all this is strategic, guys. Everything is strategic. So. It's not like, oh, yeah, you know who'd be great to work with, to be on the board of directors? The Rock. Dwayne will be great. No, there's a reason for this.
Absolutely.
You think those articles, like that article came out, like somebody just happened to ask The Rock about that? Like, it's everything is a work. All right.
XFL, movie, branding. The Rock is the best at branding. Again, he is a skyscraper of a man, a literal skyscraper. You can open a door on his ankle and climb up to the top.
Yeah.
Like the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
I think that's it.
Is that all the questions?
Don't you have to go?
I do have to go. Yes, let's go. that's it, guys. I got to go. I'm so sorry. I got to run out of here. So I got to... any wrestling books you guys recommend? Yes. Danielson's book is fantastic. Moxley's book is fantastic. And I just finished this one. Where is it? Here it is. Brian Gewirtz's book. There's Just One Problem. Great book.
That's a great book. All of Jericho's books are good. I am partial to the second and third one myself.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. We'll see you later. Take care.